What you're about to hear is an incoherent mess.
Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Mars Podcasters. Who are these rescuers coming at you through the magic of podcasting? My name is Shannon, and as usual, joined here by my brother Jake.
Shannon, why are you animated? This is ridiculous.
We're doing gags already. We're layering. This is a layered podcast. You got to re-listen to it 3 or 4 times to get all the little jokes that we put in for you.
Yes. Many, many viewings required.
Just keep downloading it. Delete it. Download it.
Yeah, it'll still count if you don't listen to it. Just keep going.
That's what we want you to do. It's what we're asking all of you to do, so that we don't have to. Because frankly, I'm sick of downloading this 300 times.
Yeah, just so we get our numbers up. But also, if you listen, you got to listen. And then there's in the choir parts, we're going to say a secret message that's going to win you $100,000. And if you hear that and email in and tell us what phrase is the choir part, you'll win $100,000.
Yeah, it's a sexy sexy new promotion we've got. It's called Creeps Whispering in Your Ear at Midnight.
If I had $100,000, Sean, do you think we'd still be doing the podcast? I don't know. Well, probably.
It's not a lot of cash in 2022, is it really?
Not really. Yeah, I mean,
this podcast, let's face it, has earned us negative $3,000.
Yeah, we're probably sitting about that mark,
It's not great output.
If I get like a $5 tip, I'd be happy,
I just want a free packet of Skittles. You listening? Skittles? Huh?
Eventually they'll listen.
5 years I've been talking about Skittles, nothing. You pricks. All right. What I like about this show, Jake, is we tackle, the movies that people want to see.
Yep.
Last fortnight, we did The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yeah, which nobody knows about.
We've gone from that to a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Because we can oscillate between highbrow horror thriller and stupid animated comedies like no one's business. And this is what people tune in for.
Well, really, you sent me a message yesterday and you're like, oh, what do you want to record? And I'm like, well, I've watched nothing and there's nothing I'm excited about watching or need an excuse to watch.
And I've been badgering you to watch this movie because I actually saw it and enjoyed it, and I wanted you to experience it because I'm interested in your views. Frankly, it's a trip down nostalgia lane.
Yeah.
Much like The Killing of a Sacred Deer was. Yes. It brought me back to a time where I murdered someone's family and had them curse me.
For being a bad surgeon.
Just being a very bad surgeon, unlicensed, sure.
Yeah.
But I thought that was clear when they came in for surgery. So anyway, go back and listen to that podcast. And what I've done here is I've forced Jack to release them in order.
Would you be surprised that it's already out?
I am shocked and horrified.
You do these things, you're like, oh yeah, in a few weeks when it's released. It's actually already out as we speak, which is baffling.
We thought, how do we tap into the massive drive for The Killing of a Sacred Deer? We'll get a hot take, we'll get it straight out.
Straight out.
So please, if you haven't listened to that one, please go and listen to it. It's a very interesting movie. It's not the movie we're talking about today. No. We're talking about Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. The 2022 Disney Plus exclusive remake of a kids show that we grew up watching.
I think I missed the end of Rescue Rangers. Now, I have pretty solid memories of Rescue Rangers, but it wasn't the super... See, I think I was more like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
It was the Disney Afternoons, which they talk about a lot on this show, along with a Tailspin.
Yep.
With Baloo as a pilot for some reason, Baloo from the Jungle Book. Those theme songs, even like and Darkwing Duck and all those ones are just a massive nostalgia hit for me. I have a great memory of watching Chip and Dale, and particularly that theme song. The theme songs for all of them are great.
DuckTales, '90s TV shows were just, they had some brilliant themes, just absolute crazy things, like, you know, just amazing.
And so, I mean, this movie taps in hardcore into the nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Maybe annoyingly so. It's in the absence of jokes. It's just like, remember this stuff. Mm. I mean, we've talked about this in other shows before. I think this is kind of the right level of goofy nostalgia, and it's very meta. So, but it kind of does it in a good way. Did you like it, first off? Is this something you enjoyed?
Oh, yeah, it's something I enjoyed. Now, this reminds me very much of the Space Jam reboot with LeBron James, where they took basically every Warner Brothers property and just went, here you go, remember all this stuff? Even though they have nothing to do with Space Jam, here's The Matrix and here's Batman and Robin, here's Superman, here's every Warner Brothers property we possibly could throw at you.
It's done in a smarter way.
It's done in a smarter way. This one's a little bit more subtle. They're kind of background characters. They're even go down to just, like, you know, ears from a character or a tail from a character or, you know, things that are you'd identify with those very, very quickly. And they've only really kind of named a few characters, like, you know, they named Flounder and Sneezy, and but mostly it was about the Rescue Rangers. Where in Space Jam, it was just like, yeah, remember all these? We're going to show you every single property redone in your face. Look at this, look at this, look at this.
And so it's really meta in the sense that the Chippendale that we're seeing were actors in the TV show Rescue Rangers. And this is post their career. They really only do the Rescue Rangers and then they go their separate ways. We will probably transpose their names a lot because, you know, it's hard to know which one's which.
Yep.
But I think Chip goes off and sells insurance, is an insurance agent.
Yep.
And Dale takes a failed TV spin-off, 00 Dale, which I actually had to look up to make sure that wasn't actually a thing they tried. It is genuinely made up for the movie.
No, there was plans to make 00 Dale. There was plans. It never actually got done, though.
Never happened. And so it didn't come to fruition. And so he kind of, he's been doing, like, you know, pop culture events. He's been doing, like, Comic-Cons.
This is what I love. Like, these kind of shows where they write them off as, like, a B or a C-class celebrities. Like, you know, these are the kind of things that I'd want to go to and meet these characters. You know, like the cast from Clerks. You know, those kind of things where you'd walk at a Comic-Con, and they just got a boost to themselves, and they're not really busy. They're not, you know, ridiculous amount of people. You know, old school wrestlers, those kind of things where you just walk down an aisle and see, like, Scotty Too Hotty sitting there and going, that's Scotty Too Hotty, how exciting. Or, you know, that's the guy from Clerks. He's not even meant to be here today. Those kind of things.
It's just incredible.
Yeah, okay? those kind of things.
Sitting next to Kay Quick.
Yeah, you just be like, this is amazing. We're huge fans, and that's what I feel like this would be like. Yeah, they're C-class celebrities, and they've got a small booth, like, you know, at a Comic-Con. It's fantastic.
And so in this universe, anyone you've seen in a movie, either animated or otherwise, is an actor. Yeah. Ugly Sonic is one of the key points in this movie.
How good is that, yeah.
Voiced by Tim Robinson, who's a very, very funny comedian, who's in I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson on Netflix. There's a prop for that. One of the weirdest and craziest sketch shows of all time, but so good. Just so good.
Yep.
Ugly Sonic, it was actually an actor that tried to do the Sonic movie and then was sacked because people freaked out about his human teeth.
Yep.
And so there's just a mix. Lumiere, like the most random characters you can imagine at this. Now,
they wouldn't have much luck acting other than what they were hired to do. Like, you know, Lumiere is a talking, you know, candlestick. What else is he going to do?
And so Dale's had 3D surgery. He's gone off and got himself reanimated in glorious CGI 3G. 3G? That's wrong. 3D.
3D.
But Chip hasn't. So Chip spends the entire movie in the animated sort of drawn version, and Dale is in CGI, which is a quite a nice juxtaposition. He's kind of trying to hang on to his fame, whereas Chip's just kind of gone off and done his own thing.
Yeah, he's seen even they even mentioned the Alvin and the Chipmunks, how they had the similar type procedure done to make them look exactly like he does. So,
and so I love the tension in this movie. And the tension comes from A, that there's obviously a relationship breakdown between the two of those guys, based on the fact that Dale tried to go off and get his own pilot, which effectively caused the Rescue Rangers to be cancelled.
Yep.
And so they've gone off their own ways and they've not spoken, but there is a spate of famous cartoon characters disappearing. And we're not sure why they're disappearing, but I love that element, that why they are disappearing is so funny to me, that they're getting bootlegged. They're being sent to other countries so they can do knockoff versions of their movies after undergoing the bootlegging kind of procedure to make them look different.
Make them look weird. Yep.
And so that's the driving sort of fight behind that, because they're trying to find particularly Monterey Jack from the Rescue Rangers TV show themselves, voiced by Eric Banner. And as soon as I heard that, I'm like, that's Eric Banner.
Yep.
And so Australia's own Eric Banner. Thank you very much. So that's the kind of impetus, because Monterey Jack has got a foul of some loan sharks for buying particularly expensive and stinky cheese. if anyone remembers Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, is Monterey Jack had a massive weakness for cheese. And so that's it. That's effectively, it's them trying to find him.
Yeah.
So let's talk voice cast, because we've sort of peppered around it. The two leads are awesome, and they're very likable.
They're two of my favorite people to listen to. Like, if you're going to have a conversation with someone with kind of distinct voices and you want to be funny and lighthearted and almost childlike, Andy Samberg and John Mulaney are almost perfectly cast.
Yeah, and perfectly cast to their different characters, John Mulaney being Chip and Andy Samberg being Dale. And as I said, Tim Robinson, you've got J.K. Simmons, Will Arnett, rounds out the voice cast.
Well, Seth Rogen
and Eric Banner, really good, solid voice cast. This movie, like, the jokes come thick and fast. The nostalgia points and the hits come. Like, I was rewatching it again before we came on. There's so much in the first sort of 30 minutes that I, even forgot about, just because the jokes are really, really fast. I don't know who this movie's for. I think this movie's for me. Like,
I don't think it's funny. Do you think it's funny, though? It's not laugh out loud funny.
I wasn't Rufflecopter. Like,
you're not sitting there like chuckling. You're kind of, that's funny.
No, I got some genuine laughs out of it. I mean, I just don't think it's funny for kids.
No.
Like, I'm looking at it going, there's no kids that are getting these jokes, right? This is for me.
Yeah, it's made for adults to watch with their children. The children to kind of, look at the cartoon, look at the animation style. They're having fun. But in the background, we see a lot of humor. Like, there's so many, blink and you miss it moments.
I think there's heaps to like about this. The mystery, the twist at the end, which is not really a twist, but it's a twist enough. And it kind of, the show kind of leads you down the path of thinking it's another character that's working with Sweet Pete. Sweet Pete being Peter Pan, who's grown up and gotten fat.
I did like that.
And voiced beautifully by Will Arnett. It's like, hey, we need a gruff kind of angry dude to play someone. What's Will Arnett doing?
Yeah, that's all he could be doing, really.
Like, he's either Batman or he's every gruff character ever. And then as soon as the detective turned up, I was like, I got a feeling this is going to be J.K. Simmons.
Yeah,
and of course, bang, Simmons. Straight away, yeah. J.K. Simmons.
Yeah.
That whole thing, I love the police procedural that this turns into, the fact that they've actually got to try and solve this issue. There's heaps of good set pieces where it's, the action's a bit harder to do when they're kind of small chipmunks. Like,
yeah.
But I thought it was a really good fun ride. Like, I really enjoyed all of it. I just thought it was really well done.
Well, it's the modern day Who Framed Roger Rabbit, isn't it? With a mixture of animated and And but do you know what it really gave me? It gave me really big Zootopia vibes. Not because maybe it's a lot because J.K. Simmons in both, but it gave me a lot of that scale, like the small table and the small things for the smaller animals and the larger things for the larger animals. And it gave me that. I think they looked at Zootopia and had a really big inspiration from that, because it's kind of a similar type of movie. I feel like there's a lot of gags in the background, small gags versus big gags, and you know, I feel like they took a lot of inspiration from Zootopia.
Yeah, except you know the humans are also here, so you know they're in an apartment complex for mice. Like
yeah, and then he pulls back, and the adult's standing there. Some of that stuff is really really cleverly done.
Yeah, I just thought that was great. Like she scares the crap out of them because she just leans into their window because she's giant. You know, J.K. Simmons is a kind of Gumby-esque character as the police detective, and he's really quite. He's like this gruff, typical police chief. You know, who spoilers turns out to be the bad guy. Even though we're led down the garden path to think that it's his junior.
Yeah, it's associate. Too obvious, and that's what I love about this movie. They're just going, you know what? We're going to steer into most stereotypes because it worked back when Peter Pan was popular, and they're going to do the same thing again. Like, why if it ain't broke, you know, why fix it kind of thing?
Yeah, and there's just a lot of layering. Like, in the first 15 minutes, John Mulaney as Chip makes a joke about Alvin and the Chipmunks rapping in the third movie, and they're like, ugh, Chipmunks rapping. Why do they always rap? And halfway through the movie, what happens is that Chip and Dale have to rap to get out of a particular situation. So there's a lot of that kind of layering that happens. I just think it's really smart, and it might not be super laugh out loud funny, but I thought there was heaps in it. But I just don't think kids have got it. Like, as a nerd, I really enjoyed the Uncanny Valley section when they're talking about
that was funny.
You know, like that made me laugh out loud. Like, everyone's issue with Polar Express was how weird everyone looked.
It was like it looks real, but there's something just not quite right about it.
And so, in this
accurate,
and in this universe, is that those were actors that got into movies and then like had nothing else to do because everyone found them really creepy and off putting. So they just sort of turned up here. And then so you got the Seth Rogen character, which is some sort of like big warlord or warlock kind of dude.
Yeah.
Who doesn't look at them in the eye because he's just got those dead Polar Express eyes.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of that stuff that's like, well, no 5-year-old or 10-year-old's getting that joke. No one understands that.
No, but does it matter if they don't get it? Like, you know, my kids sat there and watched it pretty happily without really batting an eye or laughing out loud, but they were entertained enough by the look of it.
I think it's a fraction long. And I think all of these kids' movies is a fraction long. And I wonder why they do that. If you're making a kids' movie, if you're not keeping it at 90 minutes,
it wasn't long. It was about an hour and 48 minutes. Like, so I reckon you take 20 minutes off that, and you're looking at something pretty solid. Like, I reckon there's meat there to cut. Like,
does it fall apart by the end a little bit? Like, is the end just a bit? You know,
it's a bit meh. Like, they go through that machine, you know. Like that whole part in the middle there where he got the Snoopy ear,
you can kind of
cut that. Like, it was fairly interesting, but you could kind of cut that part out because that wasn't overly funny, and it wasn't overly exciting. And you cut that whole middle part out, and then you got a lot of tighter movie.
There's a lot of, as you said, a lot of background jokes. I remember seeing Randy Marsh from South Park
in a spa,
and I was just like, as a big South Park nerd, I was like, oh my God, it's Randy. I was so excited.
But the kids wouldn't bat an eye at that. But for art, for have a little animation in there for 5 seconds that he's on the screen, not even that, probably 3 seconds on the screen, is a huge thing. But they would have had to pay money to South Park to get him across. So, like, to go to that level of detail to kind of get everyone involved in this process is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's Disney using all their properties. I mean, as the bad guy gets transformed by his machine, He's got Wreck-It Ralph's arm, and you hear John C. Reilly say, "I'm going to wreck it,"
and he's got Woody's leg.
Yeah, so he's got a bunch of different Disney and Pixar movies that, and is it Ursula's tentacle and a few other?
And I think it's an Ultra arm.
Just a mash of stuff, But there's a heap of that. Like if you like animation or any of those sort of pop culture touch points, there's just a ton of stuff to watch in the background. It really does need repeat viewing.
But it's not like in your face you need to look at the look how clever we are by adding all these people. It's just like there's a quick little reference. If you catch it, good for you. If you don't, it's not going to hurt the movie, or it's not going to be so in your face that you're rolling your eyes at it. I think it's just cleverly done. And I like, it's like Ready Player One. There's plenty of stuff in there that's thrown in your face, like look at this direction. But if you look in the background, there's so much stuff that's going on in the background that you don't even realize. And that's the kind of stuff I love. They're the true Easter egg hunting movies that work for adults.
Now you've raised Zootopia. Mm-hmm. It clearly doesn't have the heart of Zootopia. No. I think the heart of the movie's kind of a bit wishy-washy, to be honest.
Well, the heart of the movie is based on if you like Chip and Dale as probably kids. That's probably where you got – it's more nostalgia than heart.
Well, it's probably recognizing that your friends are different and, you know, that – I think Dale's issue is that Chip kind of makes him second fiddle and he's the dumb one and Chip's the smart one and he feels – He feels oppressed, and whereas Chip is angry because he basically killed the successful TV show. And so, you know, it's those two characters coming back together again and working together, which they clearly work very well together. But there's a bit of sort of forgiveness and healing, but it doesn't really have a strong kind of moral message like a lot of those Disney movies do.
And that's right. And I think it kind of shows the times. Like, you know, these Disney movies that were made to be, you know, instant classics almost. Wreck-It Ralph, you know, Zootopia, that middle stage in the late 2000s where we got some really classic Disney movies. They're kind of, I feel like they're almost a thing of the past now. They're going to be pushing these Disney Plus movies, but, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, the cynical amongst us would say this is a blatant cash grab from people desperate for nostalgia, and it's a lot of pop culture references.
Well,
and not much else.
I mean, it worked for Sony and for Marvel with the Spider-Man things. But how would they know that this is going to work for, you know? It's Chip and Dale isn't a release of the movies. Go, everyone going to go watch kind of thing. This is a perfect Disney Plus movie that can be made fairly cheap in the background kind of thing, just for voice acting. Like it's a smart movie to make with some really good actors in it, but it's not on the same level as Zootopia.
And going meta gives it a lot of freedom to do that, to be able to say these guys are just actors in a TV show.
Yeah.
And so then it gives rise to that universe being full of actors of various different species and animated and not. And so I just thought that was a really clever way around it, rather than just a blatant Chip and Dale reboot where they're detectives. So I just thought it was really smart, and I really enjoyed it.
But it plays perfectly into what we love as moviegoers, or for people like us who love conventions, who love the background, who love the casting, that kind of thing. It's kind of perfectly made for us. Mm. Them being actors, as you said, opens a vast way of doing things, and it just screams at the things that we love knowing about and watching.
Yeah, and I just think it was funny enough and clever enough without being too nostalgic, to be too in your face, that, you know, me, a cynical asshole, was watching it just going, I'm just really enjoying this. I'm enjoying this universe that they're in, and you kind of wish that they could, you know, if there were other properties that would work, that they could, the sequel would be another Disney show that it would work
like
for.
Like a B-grade Disney show, like Gargoyles?
Yeah, or just something else. It's just like, no, they're actors, and then they've got to go back to work.
But that's what I think. You know why Space Jam wasn't good. Like Space Jam was, they took the original concept and turned it up to 150 rather than 11. You know, and they just threw every Warner Brothers property in it for nostalgia's sake. But the movie itself wasn't very good. Where this is a kind of a solid movie with a solid wraparound, and they just kind of peppered in the references here and there. Even to the point where they showed old merchandising from, all the old merchandise with the pogs, the collecting pogs, like that kind of stuff is just. But that stuff's cool too, because you go, oh, I had those as a kid.
Yeah,
that being too in your face, like it was just nicely, subtly done.
Yeah, and I just feel like this is potentially, I mean, it's not strong enough for a theatrical release.
No.
That's what they've decided upon, because it's not at the level of Zootopia or Wreck-It Ralph. It's definitely better than Wreck-It Ralph 2. Wreck-It Ralph 2 was sure. Garbage.
Garbage, because they did too much.
But Wreck-It Ralph's kind of along the same vein. It's a character in a video game goes and does a job.
Yeah.
Like, that's his job, to wreck stuff. And then he switches off for the night. So it's in a similar vein to that.
And then you kind of mix that with Zootopia, and you've got the movie. But that's what makes it good, because you can relate to the things that are going on in the background. Like, they turn the game off, and then he goes to a meeting about bad guys in video games. And the gamer inside you goes, I know all those people. That's hilarious. Yeah. And it's just funny stuff, and there's easy jokes there, and it brings you into the movie instantly.
But with that, it's not like, you remember Street Fighter, look at this guy from Street Fighter. Like, that, it makes sense in the universe that he's there, and that, you know, like, I just think all of the jokes and all the meta stuff works, and it all makes sense. It's not just nostalgia for nostalgia's sake.
But also, like, when he's walking down the street, the stars on the ground, which are normally actors, are people like Chun-Li from Street Fighter and Squidward. Like, those kind of things were, those stars on the Walk of Fame were characters that we know rather than actual actors.
Why didn't it get a release? Is that because it's not aimed at kids?
I think it's because it's not, Chip and Dale aren't the biggest name. Like, even, like, it's not Alvin and the Chipmunk. Like, even the mention, like, I was more into Alvin the Chipmunk.
But Alvin the Chipmunk got 3 commercial releases.
I just don't think it's big enough. But, and they can release it on Disney Plus to be a Disney Plus exclusive and be like, come to Disney Plus for this particular movie. Like, it's an advertising thing.
But it's getting very good ratings, and you know, it's pretty well regarded, you know, critically. It seems like a mistake that it didn't go into theaters.
I mean, it's not going to be one of those ones where every single show sold out, but I think it would have made decent money. There's no kids' movies out at the moment that is any good. So it's kind of a gap where they could have kind of hit it over. America just had a public holiday. Was it Memorial Day? And it could have gone up against, like, we are open with Top Gun, and it could have had, you know, the adult option and the kids option. And I think it would have done all right. You are right. It's kind of a missed opportunity, I think.
I just feel it's odd. I'm not quite sure what their release, why they're releasing, you know, and I know obviously with COVID it changed things entirely, and there's still probably a cohort that doesn't want to go to sit in a darkened room with a bunch of strangers.
Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't really. Like, I know it costs probably money to send it out to cinemas.
Is it because you and I wouldn't have gone and seen it, and we're the target audience? Is it too highbrow for kids? Like,
think kids would like it. I don't see why kids, like I said, my kids sat down and happily watched it, but they're not going to. I don't think they want to go to the movies to watch. Like, I wouldn't pay to see this movie.
You are paying to see it in the sense that you have a Disney subscription.
But I watch a lot of Disney anyway. Like, I watch, you know, Disney randomly anyway. But I wouldn't pay cinema money to go see this. I'd happily wait for it to come out on Disney Plus anyway.
I'm a bit confused by Disney Plus, I've got to say. I'm a bit confused in the sense that what they're putting out on Disney Plus is better than their theatrical releases have been recently.
Yeah.
Particularly around the Star Wars stuff. Like, commercially and critically, they've put Obi-Wan out, they've put the Mandalorian one, and the Book of Boba Fett. Now, that's better than anything. They're better. I mean, objectively, are better than any of the movies.
I haven't seen Book of Boba Fett. And I haven't seen Obi-Wan yet. But Mandalorian shits all over the last 3 movies, like, easily.
And so it's odd that why can they not do that as a commercial? Like, why is that not made a theatrical release?
Well,
like,
I mean,
why would you not throw Jon Favreau the keys to the Star Wars universe and say, you be our Kevin Feige and you sort
of... I don't understand. I think we said this ages ago. I mean, we might have been arguing with Christian about it off air, but you are 100% right. Why wouldn't you take... It worked for Kevin Feige, and clearly Jon Favreau and... I can't remember the other guy's name who is the guy who did The Mandalorian with him. But you do both of those together, and you've got a kick-ass platform for Star Wars. Now, I'm not sure how well Obi-Wan's being received, I haven't seen the Book of Boba Fett, but everyone who likes Star Wars loves these shows.
How much are they making from streaming?
Well, not much. You wouldn't think you'd make it, you wouldn't be making enough to cover the cost of it, surely.
So there's no ads on this, right? So
no, there's not. I mean, there's no ads, but
so you're making $12 from 15, a person 15, per 15, month. 15 bucks a person.
Yeah.
You know, theatrically, something does well. Endgame made $1 billion, right?
Yeah. But that's kind of covering your next four TV shows. Now, I don't understand the subscription service because how they're making money, right? But you've got to think about it. Nearly every single person you know has a Disney subscription, yes?
No, I don't think it's as popular as Netflix.
I think it's pretty close. Anyone with kids...
I think anyone with kids has it, and clearly they're not targeting kids. They're targeting kids, but they're clearly targeting.
But then they're also targeting. They're really clever, and they're targeting adults who are nerds that want to watch these premium shows.
Well, that's what they've done. I mean, I think objectively, what you would say is, and I mean, not necessarily what I'm saying, but what I think I've heard is that the Marvel output is better than the theatrical movies, at least recently. Is that the TV shows are doing better and are being better regarded than...
Yeah, but the age-old question is, or the age-old thing is that, you know, you have 6 episodes of a TV show, right? That's usually about 45 minutes each. All right, so you got about 5 hours of content. Now, that's 2.5 movies, or if you're being Marvel movies.
But there's a lot of filler in those,
but you're not... dedicating yourself to the full movie, and the movie costs a lot more to make.
Well, does it? You've got a lot of the same talent.
Probably the same amount of money, but you're getting more time with these characters and more time to explore these characters. Now, arguably, I would say Falcon and the Winter Soldier wasn't received very well. And I would say that WandaVision was received very well, and Loki was good, and Moon Knight was very, very good. But you're progressing the story along enough to link
movies. And What If? What If was also well received.
What If is an animated movie. See, I'm not sure how much animated shows cost to make either. I'm assuming it's a lot cheaper.
But look at that output versus what we've had in phase 5, phase 4?
You've had Shang-Chi, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. The Eternal.
Black Widow?
Black Widow, yeah. Well, that was Disney Plus, but yeah, we'll count Black Widow. Black Widow, The Eternals. That's about it, I believe.
And the ones that were theatrical, went to theatrical release, at least here in Australia, was Doctor Strange and Spider-Man.
And Eternals.
And Eternals was not well received.
Did pretty poor. But Spider-Man was very well received and was rated very highly. We're just going to talk all things Disney and Disney Plus. Where Spider-Man, now that we've stepped away from it, right? Step away from it and take away the nostalgia.
Mm.
Is it a good movie?
Yeah, I think objectively it's a good movie.
I think I've heard the fact that people don't think it's a good movie because once you take away the nostalgia, there's not a lot of bones behind it. But my argument is that the movie's so wrapped up in nostalgia, you can't take it away from it. You can't separate the two.
Yeah, and I think it got a lot of points. People focused on the fact that there's both all the Spider-Men are in there. But Spider-Man's been crushing it generally. I would argue that the Sony Spider-Man stuff, except for Morbius, is also doing really well.
It's well received.
And so is the animated stuff. Like Into the Spider-Verse, I think you could make an argument is the best animated movie of the last...
It's one of the best movies, just in general. Like, I think there's so much good stuff about that movie.
I mean, it's no Killing of the Sacred Deer, but it's absolutely in terms of animated movies, it's one of the best movies.
It's one of my favorite animated movies ever.
So you know, it's Spider-Man's kind of crushing it. So the brand appeal for Spider-Man is really high at the moment.
And then you also added the video games as well, and they're crushing it as well. Like, and everything Spider-Man's good at the moment.
And as opposed to, say, Batman, which if you've listened to the Batman podcast, know that it's coming back with a vengeance. But it's struggled in the last 10 years to find its feet and we haven't. Well, the Zack Snyder stuff didn't help, but we also haven't had an Arkham game for 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been waiting on the Arkham Knights. Arkham Knights? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, sure.
Gotham Knights? Gotham Knights, maybe.
Yeah.
To come out. But, you know, Spider-Man's killing it. Look, I argue the more time we spend away from Doctor Strange, the more I like it. But I just find it really odd that we're getting these... You know, this would have been a pretty expensive movie to make. I don't know if you've got the Google machine in front of you, but if there's a budget for this, I would have thought this is fairly expensive to drop on Disney Plus. And is this the type of movie that people go, well, I'm now signing up to Disney Plus to watch?
No, it's not. But I think these are the kind of shows that get it peppered in that you go, it's a nice surprise. Like, it's one of those things where I think it's just a nice thing. They're saying it's a $70 million budget.
That's massive. That's massive. And you can't then say that you're getting returns on that.
No, I think you'd be losing money on a show.
Did it get a theatrical release at all? Did it get it in the States? Did it go to theatrical release?
No, release. Let's have a look. So it had a premiere, but after that it was released as an original film. That's it.
Yeah, I just find it bizarre.
You'd think if you dropped it as a release on Memorial Day to go against Top Gun as an option against Top Gun, right? For the kids and aim it at the adults for nostalgia's sake, you're going to make $70 million, surely.
I would have thought so. I just think you would get that money back and then some. And if your marketing is another $20 million, you know, let's say you've got to make $100 million.
It's going to make $100 million. It might not make $100 million, but you're going to get some of your money back.
And then you drop it on Disney Plus a month after it finishes the theatrical release. I look, you know, and Netflix is struggling at the moment in terms of its, you know, it expects to put 1 million new subscribers through its system on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis or whatever it was. And the last one, they'd shed viewers. And so all of a sudden, as a you know, and Netflix was a 10-year proposition. You know, they always said that they would be a loss leader. They would lose money on shows that they were producing, very expensive shows. They would lose money on it while they were building their subscription base to a point where you have to have a number of subscribers to a point that covers the production of those shows, or they'll have to do things like in a lower tier, put ads on, you know, at the base level, at the minor subscription, you would have to play ads in between the shows or after the shows or whatever. If they lose subscribers and don't build them every month or every quarter, they're losing money. They've got to keep building the subscriber base, but there's a tipping point, right? Like, once it gets to a particular point, you've got all the subscribers you're getting.
Yeah,
you're not going to keep adding them, and you're going to lose subscribers based on what. There will be a whole bunch of people that either don't have Netflix right now who've signed up and will binge all of Stranger Things and then get rid of it.
Well, but that's the thing about, you know, Netflix was the only option for a long time, especially in Australia. It was the only real option because Stan was fine, but it wasn't at the same level. But now you're at the level where Disney Plus is here. You know, you've got Amazon Prime, which is bloody brilliant, and you've got all these things like Stan, who are now in the same level as Netflix. And you can pick and choose what you want to watch now. You know, you can cancel after a month, watch all of Stranger Things when it comes back, cancel that after it's finished, and go back to, you know, your regular programming.
And frankly, what those subscriber bases are banking on is people are too lazy to do that,
like myself, who has four different subscriptions.
So let's talk about subscription models just generally, because you know, here in Australia we had really two options 10 years ago. It was you watch free-to-air commercial TV or you had Foxtel.
Yep.
And Foxtel is the cable equivalent here, mm-hmm. and it's owned by Fox, by News Corp, and it carried a subscription, a model where you paid for the base cable package, and then there were premium packages of channels that were bundled together. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't say, I just want the movie channel. You had to have 9 different movie channels, and that also came with National Geographic and whatever else.
Yep.
And so you know, each box in your house was an extra money on top. So you'd have one box running from your satellite or your cable, and then each additional point was $10 or $15 a month. Now, now we're talking nostalgia trip here, because I tell you, when I was working my teenage job, you know, at Coles supermarkets. Hello to the people at Coles. Happy for you to sponsor bag of Skittles. No problems at all. but I had a box in my room,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I paid additionally for the package that had the Comedy Channel.
Yes.
And what I can tell you about the Comedy Channel, and we're just completely off topic here, but the Comedy Channel was great. Like, I saw all the shows that I would otherwise never have seen. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But at a certain point, let's say 9 or 10 o'clock on a Saturday night, that thing changed from the Comedy Channel to almost straight porn.
Yes.
Like, shows like Real Sex and Alvin Purple, which is an Australian show in the 70s, it was just full frontal nudity consistently. So as a 15-year-old boy, I was thrilled with my choice of the Comedy Channel. But I saw a heap of stuff that I would never see before. But we paid for that. Like, it was 15 or 20 bucks a month for that package and the additional box.
Yeah.
Mum and Dad...
$15 each. It would be $15 for the extra package and the $15 for the box.
And Mum and Dad would have paid, what, $40 or $50 back then?
No, more
20
than
years ago.
Yeah, well, 20 years
to have the subscription for Foxtel.
Yeah.
And you could do things like record shows, and you can set up.
That was a little bit later. DVR adders.
I definitely had a box that could record. So absolutely, at that stage, you could. Now,
and pausing live TV was a huge thing as well. Like, that was a massive.
And the technology's gotten better and better, and you're up to IQ3 or IQ4 or 5 or whatever it is now, and you can record two things at once and whatever.
Yeah.
Most people. You know, most kids didn't grow up with that. So it was whatever you had on your screen at that time.
Mm.
Now, we're back to almost that model. There is a proliferation in the market of streaming services that's kind of gotten out of control. And now it's to the point where it's like, now I'm picking and choosing what I'm watching based on the subscriptions that I've got. And they're ever changing. So the you know, I can't just. It's no longer do you jump onto Channel 10 and know you can see Friends every week, you know, as it comes out. I literally tried to watch an episode of South Park the other day. I explicitly wanted to watch the Rob Snyder as a stapler carrot. Herpty derp to diddly derp to do. All I wanted to do.
Carrot, yeah.
I wanted to watch that episode. So I went on to Amazon Prime, which is the last time, maybe a month ago, that I watched South Park. And that's now gone. It's now on Paramount.
And it's ridiculous like that.
And you now get a thing on Amazon saying, click here for a free trial of Paramount. Yeah. So Amazon is pushing you to another subscribing platform to watch Paramount. So these are, and that's channel, is that Channel 10's? That's where they're aligned?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And so, you know, everyone's got Netflix, and Netflix is now steadily creeping up. I think I've got the premium package. And Jack, if you're listening, just continue to ride my coattails of my Netflix, my friend. But I've got Netflix at a higher, like the high streaming at the 4K, because I've got a 4K TV.
Yeah,
so that's $25 a month.
Yeah.
On top of Disney Plus, on top of Stan, on top of Amazon Prime.
KO.
I've also got KO for sport, and I've also got Shudder for horror.
But
and
you,
so,
you also have YouTube Premium.
But I watch a lot of YouTube.
Yeah, so as do I. But you also have YouTube Premium.
So YouTube Premium, which comes for the music as well. So you get YouTube Premium, YouTube Music, so I can stream music for nothing.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I'm also using your binge account.
Yeah,
and so,
yes, you are.
and so I get to a point where I just don't know what to watch anymore. Mm. And I kind of long for the, I'll flick through what's on TV and I'll catch something that sounds good.
Yep.
Whereas now I'm sitting there for hours going, I actually don't know what to watch. I need something new. And what happens is I scroll for an hour and a half, and then I fucking watch Community again. And this is
that's where the issue falls down. That we've got there's so much new stuff out there, but where do you even start? And unless it's a property like Star Wars or Marvel or something like that, I'm very not interested in starting something new until either a couple of seasons is out, so I can binge watch it all. Or the new biggest thing like Squid Games comes out and I eventually get around to watching it.
And yeah, after being told by everyone you've got to watch it now. And then on top of that, you can then... I mean, that's not all the ones that are even available. You've then got Apple TV, which I flatly refuse to get just on principle.
Yeah, but it's also got one of the greatest TV shows ever on there. So.
And that's the point. If everyone then goes, well, you've got to watch it for this, you either have got a choice to try and run that 30-day trial.
Yeah.
And hope that you remember to delete it at the end of that and cancel it so that you can watch Ted Lasso and completely binge the lot.
Yeah.
But when do you time it? Do you go, now that Ted Lasso's finished or been cancelled in 5 years' time, now I'll get it so I can watch the whole lot?
Yeah.
Because if I run my 30-day trial, watch the first two seasons, and then the third season comes out, I then have to pay Apple money
yeah.
to watch it, and I'm not going to do that.
No.
So I think, you know, what happened was, you know, it was funny that subscription services effectively killed pirating because people are like, I'll just jump on a Netflix. It's cheap and I'll watch it. And there's no need to pirate anymore.
Mm.
Now there is so much on. And there's some stuff that's locked behind paywalls that we can't even get without a VPN. If I want HBO Go, I either have to hope that it hits binge.
Yeah,
and most of it hits binge, but there might be some stuff I can't get. But I've then got to get binge. I can't go and get HBO Go. I've got to get binge with all its other content.
But you also run the risk of things that you would normally watch on a streaming platform to be locked away behind something like the BBC streaming service.
Yeah,
and the odd time that you want to watch bloody Red Dwarf that used to be on Stan, I'm pretty sure, and is now behind the BBC paywall. No one. I'm not buying that. I'm never going to buy the BBC pack because I'm not going to get enough out of it.
But the weird thing is, in terms of Australian TV networks, is that they run their own catch up programs
for free
and exclusive content for nothing.
Yeah.
So there is actually a lot of content that's there for nothing if you want to watch it.
You need to go through the base service, and there's a shitload of ads. Like trying to watch Lego Masters on the Channel 9 one. It's long. There's more ads if you watch it on the catch up than there is when you actually watch it live.
Yeah, and they you can't skip or do anything with those.
No, and it's the exact same ads every single
time. Over and over and over.
You watch the same ad about 20 times in one episode.
But they also run shows that they don't air. Yeah. So it's a dumping ground for stuff they've purchased but not bothered running.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're clearly making some money back by ads, but surely they're running it. That system and service is running at a loss. They've purchased those shows. They get better analytics about how many people are actually watching it than the stupid rating system we've got here in Australia, with just basically still people marking it down in a book what they're watching. But I don't know what's in it for these. Are any of these streaming platforms making money?
But
is Netflix making cash?
Can they be? Like if you look at everything if you actually sit down and look at everything we subscribe to, like we listen to all the TV shows, but you've also got the Microsoft account that we have for gaming. You know, you have that. I have a comic book subscription that I stupidly pay Marvel $14 a month because I wanted to read Iron Man a little while ago. Those kind of things where they keep adding up and they just keep growing. The PlayStation account that you have for your PlayStation network. These things
The Switch to play online. Just to play online, yeah.
And then you get the Nintendo 64 pack on top of that because we wanted to play Mario Golf that one time and never went back to.
And so everyone balked it. I'm not spending $100 a month on Foxtel.
It's too expensive.
It's too expensive. But now we're spending more than that in the kind of diversion. And frankly, with Foxtel, you know, if you get the Foxtel with a box, they have movies on demand so that you can, and shows on demand that you can watch, so you're not having to wait for it to be aired.
You're streaming them, essentially.
You're effectively streaming them from that. But you can also get a bit of, I'm just going to chuck on the Comedy Channel and see what's on at the moment. You know, it doesn't seem like such a bad deal. You know, what needs to happen is an app on your TV that you can just search and it says it's on this. I think we've talked about it before, but the Just Watch app is another subscription service.
I don't pay for it. There's a free version, but
there is a free version.
You type it in, you add all your subscriptions that you have, or not actually literally add, just add that you have them. You don't got to link them or anything. Add that you have them, and you type in what you want to watch, and it tells you it's streaming on this, it's free to stream on this, or you can rent it from this place.
And it is a godsend for this podcast for us when we're trying to do what the next episode's going to be. But an aggregate app, if I just load all my subscriptions into one subscription service and it just finds it. Because if I'm looking for something...
You're going to pay a subscription fee to do that service.
But I'm sick of like... And I looked it up. I was looking at South Park.
Yep.
The movie is on Stan, but none of the episodes are on Stan.
Yeah.
And last week it was on Amazon Prime, but it was like... This season 3 to season 17.
I don't understand that. Why? And then, like, you know, look at some of them and season 9 to season 15 is there, but 1 through 10, nowhere to be found. You know, like, what is going on there? But, like, I just wonder, like, even things like Netflix, like, I barely watch Netflix anymore, but I'm going to keep my subscription because reasons, you know?
And but in Australia, we have The Office. And the American Netflix no longer has it. It's gone behind Peacock. And so it works okay for us while we don't have access to some of those shows, like HBO. The HBO shows are on Binge. But unless those channels come here, like Shudder wasn't here for the longest time, now it is, those shows are now paywalled behind that. Whereas they used to be sold to the Netflix and Stan and those ones. So if Peacock comes here, which is NBC's streaming platform, shows like Friends and The Office and those shows that have been on NBC, Parks and Rec, will end up behind the paywall as well.
Mm.
And so in the end, we're going to be back to almost Foxtel levels of subscription. Mm. And stuff locked behind channels that we no longer subscribe to. I think it's a proliferation of the market, and I don't know how long it's sustainable for. Because if, you know, Netflix was built on market share and they spent a huge amount of money because they hold a massive amount of market share of the streaming platform. If that spreads, if everyone goes, I'm just going to choose two and Netflix falls off that radar and it sheds subscribers, those shows, those very expensive shows, and I'm thinking of things like Stranger Things, are really expensive to make.
Yeah, but they're the really good ones that are bringing people in. It's all the little shows that are going to suffer, the indie-type shows that are being made on the fairly cheap that will be cut. And people love these shows. I don't know many off the top of my head, but I'm thinking things like Sex Education and those kind of shows.
But you look at some of their big flops that they've immediately cancelled. Like Space Force would have cost a bomb to make.
Of course it would.
You know, and it wasn't particularly good. I had a look at it because I was jazzed because it's Greg Daniels, it's Steve Carell, John Malkovich. Like I was jazzed for that. It just didn't work for me.
It wasn't good, no.
And it's been cancelled, and so that's cost them a lot of money and not brought in a lot of subscribers because a lot of them would have come in, gone, it's not very good, and switched out again. And so, is there a point where you get to it and go, I just can't afford to run all these anymore, and I'm going to have to choose.
I think that's very true, but I think that's where Disney is the flagpole. Like that's going to be your new number one because
is it though?
Well, you think about it, if you have kids, right? If you have kids, you're going to have Disney.
But all of those platforms have kids content.
Yeah, Stan, but nothing like Disney. You've got Pixar and you've got Disney. Classic and new, and they're bringing out new movies all the time, right? But then you've also got the genre for Star Wars, which is going to get your, you know, people, you know, like our father who loves Star Wars is probably going to have a Disney subscription, and he looks after the kids. We're going to have it because we love Marvel and we love Star Wars and we love animated movies, so we're going to have it. It kind of covers everyone. Where Netflix is so kind of aimed at early, late teens, early 20s, and plus that they're not going to always be around because there's so many options. I think where if you have kids or you're in that, you like nerdy shows, you're going to have Disney as your number one and then maybe choose one or two of the other ones. And I'm sorry, but Netflix hasn't got the content the new content that's exciting enough for me personally to keep carrying on if I had to choose.
I think if Netflix loses some of those classic NBC shows.
Oh, if you lose Friends, The Office, Parks and
Community,
Rec.
Parks Community, Parks and Rec.
You're going to be in trouble because if they go behind Peacock's paywall and that you have to subscribe to Peacock, you're in big trouble. But what Netflix also doesn't do is give you anything extra. Like Amazon Prime, I can't bang on about Amazon Prime more. You got some great episodes of TV show. You got all of Top Gear. You got The Boys. You've got all these new original TV shows coming out. Plus, you get free Amazon shipping. Like, that's just brilliant. Like, it's an added perk. Like, even if you want to pay for free shipping if you buy a lot of things from Amazon, plus you get a full streaming service, that's brilliant. All the Mission Impossibles are on there.
It is becoming more of a niche area. And I take it, and I take your point that Disney is far more broad, particularly since their 20th Century Fox acquisition.
Oh, yeah, huge.
And so what they've labeled is it Stars that they've labeled?
Yeah, you've got shows like The New Girl, The Simpsons, X-Files, all these classic Fox shows that you couldn't really get.
Futurama, American Dad, Family Guy. Yeah.
Things that you couldn't get anywhere else really before that. And now all of a sudden on Disney, as well as all your Marvel, all your Star Wars, all your Disney and Pixar.
Yeah, and then Stan's lesser for it because Stan had a number of those TV shows prior.
If you ask anyone who's got Stan, I reckon one out of three will say they have Stan because it's not a common thing. We have it because we're giant nerds who do a podcast and want to have access to as many shows as possible. But at the same time, there's not. When was the last time you actually watched anything on Stan other than Breaking Bad?
Only really for the podcast when I'm trying to find stuff. Or you know, a movie that I'm looking for happens to be on there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it is by circumstance that I'm going, oh, I want to watch this and I've just got to find it. But I want to have those options. And that's what I hate about this is that everything's sitting behind a paywall. And, you know, the other option, of course, is I could drive to JB and pick up the DVD.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting on a DVD that cost me $20 that I'll watch once and
you've got
to
store a DVD. But it's the same argument versus digital versus actually having the copy of the disc video game. Like I'm so in the thing now where I'm just going to go digital. If it's the same price, I'll go digital because sure, you can trade in your game. When was the last time you traded in a game? Never.
You know, and I quite like EB's trade your game back in if you don't like it within 7 days
or 14 days. But if I'm paying $20 for a game, I can have it on my hard drive forever linked to my PlayStation account, or I can buy a disc copy that, you know, might get scratched and I need to store it somewhere.
As someone who had a 5,000 strong DVD collection, I now have almost nothing because of streaming. I just find it fascinating. I just don't think this business model is sustainable. And I think what we'll find is probably in the next couple of years is that some of these will cease to be. You know, I think
we lost Quibi. I can't see Paramount lasting forever.
Well, Paramount's Channel 10, so it's been heavily invested.
But also, movie companies just dump their movies on it. So I guess they're not really losing money on it.
But there's also a lot of crap. If you go through Netflix, there is an awful lot of absolute trash on there. And so you're often trying to find movies, wading through the crap to try and find decent movies. And a lot of this stuff is low effort, you know, low cost, low effort. And I think, you know, there's laws in this country about content, like original Australian content that at least free-to-air companies have got to adhere to. So you've got to have a minimum amount of shows that originate here. And we haven't really seen Netflix or I think Stan's done a lot more than Netflix has in terms of localized content. But it'll be interesting to see how that works as well, because there's clearly a diversification in countries like India now has its own Bollywood section and it has Netflix originals that are native to that area. And you look at sort of like the success of, say, Squid Game, is you're going to get a much more diversification of those. But I think that's where Netflix's skill has been, is identifying big cultural touchstone shows. I mean, look at the numbers Tiger King did.
Mm.
Look at Squid Game and what they've done. You know, everyone's got its tentpole, I think, in terms of that. Stan really doesn't. Stan hasn't had a massive hit.
No, but Stan have the big things like, you know, have the big shows, some of them like the big classic show. We did have Friends for ages. But, you know, it's got Breaking Bad on there. But even some of those have been pulled off to go to other services.
But Amazon Prime, I'd argue, is The Boys has been quite massive.
Season three. Oh.
And so, but there's been some really big Netflix shows that have come out. I think, you know, Invincible came and went pretty quick, but it was, for a while there, it was hugely, it was getting memed like crazy. And
Good show.
Oh, no, was Invincible Prime as well?
That was Prime.
Was that Amazon?
Prime, yeah.
So this, but they've been really successful at finding that niche and hitting those shows. But there's also so much content to watch. Is when the hell you get to anything?
Mm.
Stuff comes and goes. The season gets released and then it's gone. You know, and there's been a lot of shows like the Queen's Gambit came.
That was huge for a while. But Bridgerton. That's the thing about binging is you watch it in a week and you forget about it and you never go back to it. Yeah, and these shows don't last forever. Where things like The Office, Friends, Community, Seinfeld, we rewatch these shows over it because they're bloody brilliant. But these kind of shows, they come and go, and you don't watch them again.
One thing we've been talking about fairly heavily is doing an Office retrospective. Given that we've watched it a heap of times and we've listened to all the podcasts and whatever else, it's one thing we keep threatening. So if you do want to hear a whole episode. And we might bring some special guests in to talk about particular favorite episodes. If you do want to hear an Office retrospective, it'll probably be a 3-hour podcast, but we're prepared to do it for you, our loyal listeners.
And if you do want that. I do love listening to, and I do like talking about The Office.
So hit us up, masterspodcasters@gmail.com, and tell us if you want to hear that episode or not. Final thoughts on Chip and Dale, on anything else?
That was 40 minutes ago, but... yeah, it's a good movie. I can't recommend it. Especially if you've got kids and you like kind of finding Easter eggs in the background, it's fine. It's not harmful anyway. I wouldn't say it's an A+ movie. You know, you're looking at a solid B.
It's a solid B. It's absolutely watching. If you're a fan of the Disney afternoon cartoons, you'll get something out of this. You'll get a kick out of it. I absolutely think you should watch it. It gets massive props in the first 5 minutes for playing a Tenacious D song.
Yes.
And I was like, yep, I'm going to like this movie. John Mulaney is probably my favorite comedian. Andy Samberg, I love him. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Put those two together. Will Arnett's great. J.K. Simmons is awesome. Put that together with a Tenacious D song. I'm sold.
And I really want to point out the part where all of Seth Rogen's animated characters came together, made me laugh.
Yeah,
but these four animated characters came together.
I loved it. Ugly Sonic was a full character. All that stuff is great. It's a really good movie. Absolutely watch it. But also, we'd be interested. What streaming platforms do you have? Tell us what you've got. Are you gonna shed some of those in the future? Are you down to one? Are you just picking and just binging everything on one?
Or are you really smart at kind of doing it month to month? 1 month you have Netflix, 1 month you have Stan. Because I really want to be that organized, but I'm just not.
So tell us what you're doing in streaming, and if you think that there's, you know, if you've got some obscure ones we haven't mentioned, let us know about those as well. But that's it from me. Thank you very much for listening, and from Jake,
DuckTales, woo. Been singing all day.
This is just extra content. Jake, you can cut this out if you like, but there's a couple of things I did want to mention just off the back of that. First of all, I am going to try and share the joy of YouTube shows that I've found or things that I've found. I strongly recommend that you search for DuckTales, the theme song, but it's just Duck.
It's the weirdest thing ever.
If there's something that if you don't laugh at that, there is something seriously wrong with you. We haven't done a bit of a quick roundup in terms of stuff that we're laughing at, but that is definitely one. The other thing I did want to pimp for anyone that is struggling to find stuff, there is a great mobile game called Duskwood that I've now finished entirely.
Yes, you finished. Satisfying?
It was satisfying, but it left many questions, which I still need to find the answer to.
Okay.
It is a role-playing, text-based.
It's really good.
Mystery.
I played it for a little while as well.
With mini games to get you through to the next level. The mini games are infuriating, but they're good at repetitive, but you can get through them, and they're very interesting. There's now 10 episodes. They've all been released. But so if you download it, you can get to
them. It's an interesting movie because it's text-based, but it also has video clips of them talking to you, and you really get involved really quickly, and it's a little bit spooky. It's kind of like a horror game. It's a bit spooky. I watched. I had to have my headphones in the middle of the night one time, and there's some quite spooky stuff in there. But it is a good.
Yeah, you get video calls from other characters or the killer or what have you.
Yeah, it's cool.
And so I don't know how far you got into it.
I got about six episodes in before mine randomly crashed and died, which is heartbreaking.
But if you just want something, you can drop in and out any stage, you know, and just take it at your own pace. But if you're looking for a mobile game, I normally wouldn't pimp for mobile games. I don't like them very much. But this one is something that stuck really strongly with me. And I think it's free to play. But if you want the premium content that Jack's talking about with the video calls, I think it's a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
But it's
worth it.
It's absolutely worth it. And if you're just looking for something to do, I would recommend Duskwood on Apple Store or Google Play as well. If you have run across any cool little videos you want us to watch, any funny clips, anything like that.
While we're ranting, Shane, what are you watching on YouTube? Give us a YouTube breakdown of what you're watching.
I've been watching like hidden video game kind of secrets and stuff a little bit on Odd Header, which is a pretty good channel that I like. I'm still desperately watching Babish every time that comes out.
God, he's gotten lazy. Babish has gotten seriously lazy. I'm getting annoyed at Babish.
Babish has expanded his culinary universe, so there's now a whole bunch of other people
but
doing
it. He himself has gotten lazy.
He's far more on camera doing other stuff than just doing recipes from movies and TV shows. So
sad.
They're a bit few and far between, but still watching Babish. I'm absolutely obsessed still with Dancing Bacons. I do really like Dancing Bacons.
Talk about a waste of time.
It's, you know, he just goes and randomly finds a vending machine that he likes, and you just get everything in the vending machine, and you watch him eat it. It's very calming.
Yeah.
I do love Dancing Bacons. He goes to wacky and weird restaurants. Dancing Bacons on YouTube. I really like That Chapter, which is about true crime, down in a really quite humorous and interesting way. Dank Pods. Still watching Dank Pods. Even though he's a Samsung hater and an Apple lover, I still like his content, and he's local. He's from Australia, which is great to see. Max Mofo of Pokemon opens Pokemon cards and yells at them quite substantially. He makes me laugh occasionally. There's lots of stuff to watch on YouTube, but we're always looking for recommendations. And I think, how do you find this stuff? Either by falling down the rabbit hole or talking to people.
Find the YouTube recommendations are pretty good now. Like what they recommend at the start, before you go into your subscriptions, they're pretty. I found some interesting stuff. Like I've fallen down the Resident Evil rabbit hole, if you will, of video games and lore. So I've been kind of binging anything to do with that. There's a YouTube channel called Ink Ribbon, which is really, really good stuff. It breaks down characters and how they intertwine and movies and TV shows and all that kind of stuff. He's really good. I'm also really into speed running at the moment, speed running video games. So I've watched a few of those. Orchelon is the best Resident Evil speedrunner you'll find. And Waifu Runs, if that's what you're interested in, watching guys speedrun. He breaks down things about how speedrunners, or what the percentage of a speedrunner has to be to get the world record, how lucky they need to be. So that's really interesting. So that's what I'm kind of binging at the moment. But YouTube will always make you think.
Yeah, and just while we're talking duck related issues, there's, if you haven't seen The Duck Song, it is an absolute earworm of a song, but makes me laugh every time. Terrible animation, but the song is hilarious. It's a very old clip if you haven't seen it. I'm watching Fail Army. Dash cam accidents I'm obsessed with at the moment, just putting dash cams on, letting
people. What's the Harry Potter puppet thing?
The Harry Potter puppet powers.
If you want to laugh, watch
Harry Potter puppet powers. Yeah. In terms of tech, Mr. Who's the Boss, Michael Fisher from a tech perspective is something I love watching. So Michael Fisher is kind of my YouTube idol. I think if I could deliver the way he does it and the way he cuts it, it always looks super professional. His voiceovers are always good with just a tinge of humor. He always just gets the messaging right, the things that people are interested in. So if you're ever looking at, I don't know what phone to buy, or I'm looking at a new phone, I would absolutely recommend Michael Fisher for any tech gadgety stuff. And Techspert is also very funny, a guy out of the UK who's hilarious and covers tech. He does like 3 or 4 episodes a week of just stuff that's coming out. So they're really prolific guys. Fascinating. I mean, as a platform, I love YouTube. I think it's fascinating.
I love the educational side of YouTube. Like, I've been looking at making, you know, 3D printing, even like down to dioramas. I love the idea of making a diorama. I think that's a really cool idea. So just the amount of YouTube content that's around that, like, some of them are really poor quality and really quite shitty. But the fact that I've learned so much stuff, you know, like my creating stuff is gone huge compared to what it once could have been. And there's just so much, like, looking at my YouTube subscription, like, you know, I like to make stuff. Bob and the team, I don't like to make stuff, is amazing. Some of the stuff that they make, and, you know, big things that I'm never going to make, like, you know, like a climbing wall, but they're insanely watchable and you can learn tips and tricks from there.
What's the weirdest tangent you've gone off recently? Because YouTube allows you to go off on weird tangents.
I haven't gone off. I've been pretty good with weird tangents. I know back in the day, I used to go off on some weird ass tangents, but now I can tell you.
I spent a good solid 2 or 3 evenings watching a guy build a cabin on a property in the middle of nowhere with very few tools.
Yep.
And I've been there.
Yep.
And by the end of it, I was like, I can do that. Now, I think that's the worst thing about YouTube, is it gives you a false sense of security. Because I'm pretty sure I couldn't build a fucking cabin. No, I'm pretty sure.
I go off and things like, you know, I love the idea of D&D, Dungeons and Dragons. I love the idea of playing a D&D game and having the little figures, painting them myself, and having like a full playthrough. And I'm like, I could totally paint a miniature. No worries.
You're talking Warhammer. D&D is different. Well,
you still have miniatures and you still move them around a board if you want to.
Not in D&D, though.
If you want to, yes, there is.
Right. Okay, sorry.
Like Warhammer. You're right, like Warhammer. And
never argue with a fucking nerd, people.
No. But anyway, I've 3D printed a Warhammer figure, and they are about the size of your pinky finger.
Yeah.
To think that I, a complete non-artist, could detailed paint a little tiny miniature figure to the standard that actually looks good is laughable.
To that point, I may have started looking up lumber prices to work out how much timber I need. There's a couple of problems. First of all, I don't own land where I could build a cabin.
That's an issue.
So it's an issue. Yep. I've only almost exclusively worked in an office. So these baby soft hands have never built anything of the scale of a cabin. But I thought, I reckon there's about $500 worth of timber in that. And thought, I can do that.
Yeah. I went through a phase where I'm really into woodworking, and I built a couple of tables, which are still very good and quite useful. But that's probably the extent of my thing. Cut a few pieces and join them together. That's probably the extent of my
work. Well, this guy's just like, you just do a dovetail joint.
No worries.
You just do a dovetail joint, and then you put the trusses up, and then you just attach the, you know, it's that Simpsons episode where Homer watches Troy McClure's fix your own foundations.
Yep.
If you don't have carbon fiber stucco, Rab, you know, it's just like, what the hell are you talking about?
I love YouTube like DIY things. And then it's like, okay, guys, let's just grab your 3D printer and go over here. Now grab your laser cutter and go over here. Grab your CNC machine. And you're just like, I have a 3D printer.
I have none of those things.
But you want me to get a laser cutter and laser cut things? I can't do that.
And just while I'm on that, if you haven't seen How to Cook That with Anne Reardon too, she's an Australian who does a lot of like baking stuff, but she's been really big on debunking shitty YouTube videos that are quite dangerous from thick guys like 5 Minute Crafts and some of those. You say they go really viral, you know, viral cakes and stuff that go viral that are just terrible and bullshit and don't work. And so she's done a lot of debunking. So her debunking series is fascinating to watch, just in terms of she actually tries what they do and then goes, that clearly doesn't work. But she's a food scientist. She's an amazing woman. out of Australia. And if you haven't seen her series, is another one I would recommend. I think that's it. I'm just going to stop talking about YouTube. But I'd love to hear your recommendations.
Yeah,
I want to hear
any things that we like, you know, obviously TV show based things. Like, I don't want to hear like what Mojo and not what Mojo.
Yeah.
What are they called? Mojo.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's
whatever. Yeah, no new rock stars and
yeah, we want weird and obscure stuff that you've found that
like
you'd
Dead
like
Meat.
Us to look at.
Dead Meat's a great
movie. And that's another one that we have. I must have talked about Dead Meat on the show before.
Dead Meat's brilliant, but I love Dead Meat.
Dead Meat is brilliant, and the podcast that comes
and James A. Janisse is back.
He's back.
Just very excited.
But I'm very excited to see him back. But that is a cracking show. Mm. Yeah, so it's those type of shows that take a really unique look at something and they tunnel in and they find stuff that works. And, you know, Babish is much the same. He's like, I'm going to start making stuff from TV shows done in a really humorous and fun way. And it works. And, you know, he's now got two cookbooks and a whole bunch of cook lineware. And, you know, you can see how stuff takes off really quickly. But, you know, YouTube is just one of those places. It's like self-made people that I'm just going to go and do this and I've got an idea and I'm going to stick with it.
And it's tailor-made for everyone. Like if you love video games, you can go crazy with video games. If you like creating stuff, there's heaps of people creating stuff. Like there's so many different – or if you like a bit of everything like we do, it all gets mixed into one and you get episodes daily.
So there's some of the recommendations if people want. As a little bit of a bonus sizzle at the end of our regular episode, don't say we don't give you nothing for nothing. All right,
we kind of do. It's free to download. You don't pay for it.
Of course, brought to you by Skittles. Taste the rainbow.
One day they'll sponsor us. I swear.
One day they will, and one day they will take on my frozen Skittles, and they will start stocking them in freezers.
But do we need to like contact Skittles and ask them to sponsor us? Is that how it works?
They listen.
They know.
They pretend that they don't listen, but they listen.
They know.
You know, just sponsor us. I'll wear a Skittles cap.
Just send us a pack of Skittles, and we'll say that you sponsor us.
You know, I just
don't want to pay for my Skittles anymore.
I don't want to pay for Skittles. They're little buttons of sunshine, and
I'll take M&Ms, but you know they're not Skittles.
Yeah, I just think that they should. I think they should sponsor us because we're nice people, and that's how life works, right?
Nice people always get the stuff they want, Shane.
Always get free Skittles.
Nice guys finish first, is it?
That's definitely how that Green Day song goes. All right, enough rambling.
Goodbye, all.
Shut up. Stop recording.
You shut up. Necessary.
I mean, he's an impersonator. A fake.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you the following urgent announcement. Yes, you. Put down that oversized bottle of Scrumpy and listen here. Do you like being entertained? Do you like television? Do you cringe at culturally insensitive, sexist, racist, problematic jokes in not-quite-old-enough television shows? Do you like old-timey announcers who keep asking inane rhetorical questions, who go on and on so much that you just want to suck them right in the gusset? Do you like the letter H? Well, do we have the show for you? Built for people who love TV, where three rapscallions dissect two television shows, one old and one not so old, for a probable audience of 1-7. So dust off your flares, jump off your chamber pot, and a third old-timey product joke, it's time for Hardly TV History.
And Dale... He has to edit that out, I just yawned.
It's really freaking annoying.
The whole podcast...
It was an hour and 4 minutes. I was like, I need to find this cough that he coughed one time.
This is the level that you guys get. They're not going to hear any of this because you're going to go.
It'll be at the end, but that's not the point.
This is the level that the commitment. We're like, the audience don't want to listen to me fucking yawn. Cut that shit out. And he goes through and he's like, bang, gone.
Bang, it's gone. You never would have known it was there. And action.